Cross behind us is it's usually lit. It's not lit today, because in the shadow of the cross is the grave. The cross is taken down. Our Savior is buried. The stone has been rolled in place. Defeated, humbled, distraught, saddened, afraid, disenfranchised, and terrified, it was Friday night. The disciples huddled in a room in shock, trying to run the course of grief, dodging the authorities, confused because it was Friday night. In a stage of panic, trying to formulate the next steps, distressed, doubtful, full of despair, they sat in an upper room, dreams shattered. It was Friday night. John 20 and verse 19 at the beginning says this: later that day the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, had locked all the doors in the house. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we enter the Word, as we enter this time, this Resurrection Sunday, the hope of all the nations, the hope of all people, place the Spirit upon us that we may see the truth, that we may glorify You, the true Lord and King, the Creator, the Giver of life, the Giver of salvation. Praise and glory and honor be to You. Grant us wisdom through the Holy Spirit that we may love You a little bit deeper today. We may be transformed to look a little less like us and a little more like You. We pray this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. See, what they didn't understand was that Sunday was on the way. So many times in our lives we get stuck on Friday night. And we forget that Sunday is on the way. You know, it's a famous song by an old Christian guy named Carmen. One of my favorite songs called Sunday's on the Way. If you haven't ever listened to it, you got to go on, get on to YouTube, to Spotify, to what have you. Listen to that song, because I'm telling you, a lot of times in our lives, it seems like Friday night. If we turn to Matthew chapter 27, and we begin in verse 57... it says this: as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Pilate ordered it to be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen, and he placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. And he rolled big stone in front of the entrance and the tomb of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite of the tomb. You have to understand, here it is, Jesus buried. The stone was rolled into the place. Interesting note here, though, that you may or may not know, or may or may not have thought about. Jesus was in a borrowed tomb, because he knew he wouldn't stay. Isn't that an amazing thing? He was in a borrowed tomb, but they still didn't know that Sunday was on the way. The stone in place. They were seeing the finality of the one who said he would be the King of the Jews, over the one who said that he would conquer the world, over the one who said that he would be the King forevermore, that he would sit at the right hand of the Lord. And here are the men of Christ and the women of Christ, and they're wondering, what happened? I thought he was supposed to be reign forever. I thought he was supposed to be the victory in our lives. What happened? As they sat looking at the tomb, And even the Jews understood. Because they go back to Pilate and they say, hey, look, no, this isn't good enough. We need to secure the tomb, Matthew 27 and 66. And so they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. And so here it is. Even the Jews understood that God or Jesus had said, I will raise in 3 days. But the disciples didn't know, because they're stuck on Friday night. even though Sunday was on the way. So stuck on Friday night were they that in Mark 16, verse 1, it says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome brought spices so they might go anoint Jesus' body. See, they had to wait till after the Sabbath because it was unholy to touch a dead body. So they had to wait till after the Sabbath. And still, having that law in mind, having in the finality of death in mind, they took the spices and they went to anoint Jesus. They wanted one final respect for him. See, they loved Jesus. See, that's the great thing about Jesus, is because that's the legacy Jesus leaves, is the legacy of love. And even in death, they still loved him. They said, I don't know what happened, but we're going to go love on him. We're going to do the best for him. But what they saw was that the loss was total. The defeat was total. Mark 16, verse 10, 11. And she went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they had heard that Jesus was alive, that she had seen him, they did not believe it. The hero of the story is dead. They had given up hope. They were trying to figure out where to go and what to do next. Fear and mourning had gripped hold of them because they were holding on to Friday night. How many of us have been in that place where it just seems like we've sinned too deep, we've gone too far, we've made too many mistakes? I have too much shame. I have too much guilt. I have too much in my life. My life is Friday night, Pastor. We've all been there. I remember a time in my life where I wasn't such a good person. Maybe drank a little too much. Said some things I probably ought not said to people. My life was a Friday night. I had the stress of a failing marriage. I had the stress of no money in my bank account. I had the stress of being deployed all the time, not being able to see my kids. My kids were acting up. I couldn't be there for them. I had the stress. I had all of this going on. I had my own Friday night. And you know, in life, we can either choose to focus on that Friday night, or we can choose to acknowledge that Sunday is on the way. The rescue is on the way. You just got to hold tight for the night because Sunday is on the way. See, when they had returned, they found something they didn't expect. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at the first day of dawn of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Then we look at Matthew 24, verse 1 through 5. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. And in their fright, the women bowed down and their faces to the ground. But the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" See, they just found out that it's Sunday. See, they had brought the spices. They thought he was dead, but hope was what they found. See, when we go looking in love, hope is what we will find. We will find the empty tomb. We will find the hope that Jesus lives today. See, they found what they did not expect. They found the stone rolled away and angels nearby. I don't know about you guys, but I'd love to have kind of been at that scene, right? Right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have seen the stone rolled away and the angels kind of hanging out. I probably would have freaked out too. Okay, you ever read what angels look like? It's not like in the pictures. All right, angels are kind of freaky, right? They like got eyes all over, and you know, they move like lightning, and they got this gleaming white light, and they're very scary. Okay, I don't want to meet my guardian angel either. Okay, because I'm sure he's twice as scary as the rest of them. Right? He's got to be twice as tough because I'm twice as bad. It's terrible. Anyway, I'd like to be there when the stone was rolled away. Matter of fact, I wished I would have had the courage to be there when the stone was rolled away. Unfortunately, I think I would have been like all the other disciples, hiding and cowering in another room. But they weren't paying attention when Jesus said, "In 3 days I will rise again." Because if they had, they would have been there with a lawn chair, right? And a little Coke koozie, right? Sitting there all night going, all right, when's the stone going to... I know this is going to happen. Big things are going to happen. He said 3 days he's going to raise again. Look, folks, that's what we have to focus on. Even on your Friday nights, you have to realize that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. That in your worst times, that in your worst moments, Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. He is the victor. He has won the battles for you already. As hope begins to spring, Matthew 28, verses 2 through 7. And it says this, there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he'd rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. Okay, to me, this is, and a lot of people, this is, look, momentous occasion here, but I got to admit that Matthew probably had some humor in him, because I'm thinking, so the stone rolled, and here's this angel, he's just chilling out on top. He's like, watch what's going to happen. I'm going to scare everybody, and they're going to, I got this great news. They're going to be so glad. He's just waiting for him to show up. But it says this, verse 3, his appearance was like lightning and his clothes were like white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they shook and they became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I have told you. Greatest words ever spoken in all of history. He is not dead, but he is risen. He is not dead. He is risen. But where were the disciples? See, their faith had been stolen. That faith of Jesus or Peter on the water and now at the tomb where he doubted. But I'm here to tell you, Christ is alive and hope is here. Maybe y'all didn't hear me. I said, Christ is alive and hope is here. Amen. There we go. Hey, I was wondering if y'all still with me out there. I know the songs were long. We put a good one at the beginning of the sermon to get you jazzed up, right? Christ is alive and hope is here. It's the hope of all days. It's the hope of the empty tomb. It's the hope that you still have a chance, that no matter how messy your life gets, the Savior is there for you because he has defeated death. He has defeated sin. He has defeated guilt. He has defeated shame. And he is alive. With every breath, we have hope. With every second, we have hope. Jesus is the one who meets us in our lack of faith, in our weakness, in our lowliness. Jesus meets us in that place, and he says, there is hope. See, that's the awesome thing about Christ, is that Sunday is always on the way. Hope is always on the way. Just like when I struggled in my life and I was down and I was out, I'm telling you this, I repented, I went. Boy, we had to get back in church, y'all. Because I wasn't getting the word. I wasn't hearing the hope of Jesus Christ. All I heard the whispers were of despair and defeat and saying, you're no good and you're awful. Look at the way you treated people. Look at the way you treated your family. Look at the way you treated life. You're just so awful and so ugly and so yucky. And Jesus says, repent and follow me, for I am your hope. I will bring you from the darkness and I will bring you into the light. And so I did. And he brought me hope and peace and a sense of comfort in the chaos. See, Jesus is alive and redemption is here. See, Jesus claims the victory. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. We read this every single Sunday, but I want to read it from 18 and down, and it says this. Then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Jesus declares the victory. He declares the victory over life. He declares the victory over death. He declares the victory over sin. He declares the victory over the enemy, so that no matter where you're at in life, no matter what struggle you're taking, if you turn to the Lord, he says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Come to me and I will defeat that which seeks to destroy you. See, we no longer have a reason to doubt. John 20, verse 27. By the way, in this is the story of Thomas. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read this right here. John 20, verse 27. Now look, Thomas gets a bad rap. Okay? All right, everybody calls him Doubting Thomas. Look, there was a bunch of doubting disciples out there, okay? Look, he's the only one who said, unless I see it, I won't believe it. But look, come on. That's what the rest of them said, too. Because they didn't believe the women when they came back and said, hey, Jesus is alive. They're like, psh. What you know? Husbands, listen to your wives. They know, okay? That's the key. In here, where does it say that in the Bible? That's it, right? All these women came back and said, hey, men, Jesus is alive. And they went, psh. Well, you know, woman. Get out of here. We're scared, right? That's my take. That's current vernacular. That's a little abridged version of the Bible. Husbands, listen to your wives. They know. But it says this in John 20, verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. All right, don't matter where you think the nails went. There were holes. See, the piercings remained in Jesus. And he told Thomas, put your finger here. Touch it. Reach your hand and put it into my side where the spear went. See if I am not real. And then he says, stop doubting and believe. Friday night wants you to doubt. Sunday says believe. Friday night wants you not to see and not to put your finger into the hands of Jesus. But Jesus says, trust me and test me and see if my love is not real. Put your trust in me. Stop doubting and believe. What's stopping you today from believing? We all have a past. We all have trouble. We all got things we're sorry for. We've all been beat down. We've all been in that place. We've all been addicted. We've all been struggling. We've all suffered. We've all committed all the sins out there probably that you can commit. You're not alone. Stop doubting and believe that Jesus can overcome. Whose side will you be on? See, we have to pick that side because we have to stop doubting and believe that Jesus is the victory. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 and 56, my favorite verses in the Bible. A long time ago, I was really afraid of dying. I was in the military for a long time, and we went to some crazy places, and I've been around some things where I'm like, whoo. All right, barely made that one. Be around airplanes, and they got large moving surfaces that move under 3,000 pounds per square inch of pressure that will crush a human being. Been on stands over 100 foot high, freaking out, thinking death just around every corner. I was very afraid of dying. And then I read these words, and it hit home to me. 1 Corinthians 15, 55, 6, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But Jesus has won that victory. For Jesus has defeated sin and death. The grave has no hold on me anymore. Death has no fear for me anymore. As a matter of fact, like Paul, I look to depart and be with the Lord, for it is far better for me to depart. But I must remain because the Lord still got work for me to do. And I'm ready to go when the Lord's ready for me to go. But until then, I'm going to fight and I'm going to win the battles in His name because of His Holy Spirit, for He has defeated the enemy. See, See, that's what you got to understand. Whether you're watching us out there online or you're in here today, Jesus has already won the victory. All you have to do is stop doubting and believe. That's it. What do I need to do to be saved, Pastor? Stop doubting and believe. What do I need to overcome my sin, Pastor? Stop doubting and believe. How do I get over my guilt, over the things in my past? Stop doubting and believe. For Jesus has restored all things. That's what his death meant. That is what is his resurrection won. For even Peter is restored. He denied Christ three times. Denied him three times. Jesus even proclaimed it. And he said, hey, look, you're going to deny me three times. Because he said, look, Jesus, I'm going to go to the cross with you. I'll go to death with you. And Jesus said, no. Before the night's even over, before I even get upon the cross, you're going to deny me three times. He said, no, I won't do it. But as that rooster crowed, Peter remembered. On that third denial, Peter remembered and he fled. And yet even Peter was restored. As we read, it's in John. It's in the book of John. We'll go ahead and bring that verse up, please. I know I'm all over the place back there. I'm flipping over there now. There we go. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. For truly I tell you, when you were younger and dressed yourself, you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. This is an amazing thing, and I wish I had the time to explain everything to you. And you're like, oh, no, please, Pastor, I won't. All right, we can spend about 5 days on the theology inside of this. Beautiful. But as Peter denied Christ three times, what you have to understand is that Peter was out of the grace of God. He had denied Jesus before men. And we remember what Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Yet if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. See, Peter had fallen out of salvation. He'd fallen out of grace. He wasn't in. If he'd have died at that moment, there was no hope for Peter. But even in denying Christ, Christ comes to him and said, do you love me? Yes. You know, when somebody says, you love me? You know, my wife said, you love me? I said, yeah. We can get off the cuff pretty quick with that, can't we? You folks that have been married a while, it's easy to say, oh, I love you. But sometimes, you know, you don't feel it. It's just kind of that off the cuff, you know, that I need to make sure I tell my wife I love her today. Well, I love you. And Jesus says, no. Do you love me, Peter? He's telling him you need to. This isn't an off the cuff. This isn't a church answer. He says, have you stopped doubting and believe? He says, yeah, I love you. And then he asks him the third time, and Peter's hurt. You know, if you go back into the story of Mark, Jesus tells Mary to go back and tell the disciples and Peter. And it's easy to miss what that is. But Jesus tells Mary to tell the disciples and Peter. See, Peter was excluded now. And in our lives, we can feel like we're excluded. In our lives on Friday night, we can deny the Lord. And in our lives, it can be really tough and we can be on the outs with God. But I'm here to tell you that Sunday has made it possible that all things have been made new. All things can come back to Jesus Christ if you would just stop doubting and believe. Look what it tells us, and it's in Isaiah. Go ahead and bring up Isaiah for me. Oh man, this is a beautiful verse. Look, this is again proclaimed long before Jesus. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. He's saying I'm making all things new. And then in Revelation, Jesus proclaims the truth. And he says, I'm going to make all things new. And I heard in a loud voice from the throne saying, look! God's dwelling place is now among people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who is seated on the throne and on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are true, trustworthy. He has made all things new. I don't know where you're at in your life today. I don't know what your struggles are. I don't know what your hope is in. But Jesus has made all things new. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the one that turns Friday night into Sunday morning. Jesus is the one who says, I love you. If you just believe in me, I will rescue you. He says, stop worrying about all that other stuff in life. Stop worrying about how you're going to get it together. Stop worrying about where you're going to go from here. Stop worrying about all of this stuff. Stop worrying about the future. Believe in me now. Believe in me now. For I am risen. I have defeated sin and death. All you have to do is stop doubting and believe. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. What an amazing message of hope, love, and peace. You've brought us from the brink into your glorious love and grace and mercy. And I know there's folks out there right now struggling with their Friday night. They're struggling with where they go from there. They're struggling with doubt and fear. They're huddled in the corner of their upper room. Lord, I just ask that you would shine a light into that dark corner. That you'd stand in their presence. That you'd come into their midst. That you would show them that you are alive. That you have defeated sin and death.